One of my favorites, absolutely. Jimmy Smith on his trusty Hammond B3 organ with the title track of his 1959 album, The Sermon. Jimmy Smith died in 2005. He was 76 years old. This is Lead Stories. I'm Retrice Lead, and we will be continuing from where we left off yesterday. We had quite a lineup, quite a queue to get in on our little media exercise. And so I thought, look, we have to be fair. We have to be right. We have to do the right thing, as we normally do. And that is to open up the phone lines so that people can participate. Now, the phone lines are at 888-874-4888. And what we're doing is giving you hints of stories that are significant. And for one reason or the other, we really don't know all of the angles, even though the stories have been, quote, reported, unquote. But of course, there's so much more to what we get as news from major media, and I don't mean to sound like an acolyte of Donald Trump. This has been an ongoing discussion with me on the role of major media in particular, and specifically as it has to do with communities of color. And that's how I started out with it, that the major media had just marginalized almost totally the life of Latino, African American, and other communities in this country, and did so for a very long time. In fact, that was the point made in an assessment, a congressional report, on what accounted for the huge gap between white and black America. And the role of the media was cited as principal among the causes and contributors to this racial gap in America. All right, so at the time we left off yesterday, the topic was an honest vote. So the idea is I give you some clues, you figure out what it is these clues pertain to, what major story they pertain to, and then, of course, you proceed to tell us what you think about the topic. And we're doing analysis, and it's different from just your basic opinion, although it may involve your opinion, but we're looking for you to be the guide as to why it is we need to understand this story, this particular story, differently. Why does it have unique impact on us as Americans generally, and very often in communities that are historically informationally disfranchised and marginalized? Okay, so if you wish to contribute, if you didn't get a chance to, and we had so many people in queue for wanting to participate in the discussion on that subject, you can call in at 888-874-4888, and that was an honest vote. That was the clue. All right, who's going to take it up? Willie, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, PRN family, and my beloved sister, our beloved
Thank
sister.
you. How you
Listen,
doing, Willie?
I'm okay. I hope everything's going well with you. And the
I
question
hope
you
so
raised,
too.
honest vote?
Yes,
Well, let
an
me first
honest vote.
apologize.
So the idea is, tell us what the story here is.
Right. Okay. Let
Not
me first
your opinion,
apologize
but
to
what is
you.
the story?
No, let me first apologize to you. Well, oh, the last time I spoke to you, I said you told us not to vote, but I'm not articulate. I'm not a sister you treat. So please don't mind my madness. But the way you explained the voting system to us, I mean, you would have to pay a brass monkey not to understand that this is a game. That's what you never said it that way, but once you explained how it works, everybody should know this is a game. It's a trick. Well,
All right,
they're telling
but
us.
here's take us, Willie, directly to the story. What are these words suggesting? What was the story
They're telling
that
you if we're going to have an honest vote, what we've been doing is a scam. Simple. What we've been doing all along is a trick. That's all they're saying. Because you cannot have an honest vote without a dishonest vote. And that's what all we've had. You've explained that to us.
So the very reference to this thing, this phrase, an honest vote,
Right.
should immediately trigger in our minds the exact opposite. They're stressing the business of an honest vote because it is known and has been proven that very often our votes are dishonest, in the sense that they have been manipulated or they are manipulated.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Not only the vote, this nation. It's a dishonest one, run by dishonest people.
All
Simple.
right, but we have to stick strictly to our topic today, only because there's a particular purpose for this exercise, and that is to look at how the media shape our the media organizations shape our views. So the idea of an honest vote should trigger, and I would agree with you there, should it trigger the exact opposite?
That's right.
Okay. All right, you got us started today. Thank you for calling in.
Enjoy.
Thank you. Maat from New York, you're on the air.
Yes. Hey, greetings to the beloved family. Now, I thought you said it was a continuance of yesterday,
Yes.
so that you would be given the
On
phrase.
this
Is that
subject.
what we what is the phrase, Utrice?
An honest vote.
An honest vote.
What was the story at play that brought this to our attention, the vote, an honest vote?
Well, one thought I have is something that Emma Goldman said, and she said that if voting would change anything, it would be made illegal. So, yeah, that's definitely, I can relate to that, and that's a part of it. And, of course, there's also the aspect of just breaking down the structure of the system. So look at the Senate, okay? You have a Senate that has been, per the Republicans, that have been redistrict and gerrymandered so that even when the Democrats come out and vote in much larger numbers, that it still redounds to the Republicans being in charge there. Plus, you have 70 senators or 70% representing 30% of the population, and vice versa, 30 senators, which gives them a lot less power representing 70% of the population. So one of the things I think we should come out of this Donald Trump, racist, idiotic, fifth grade era, is that we need to restructure so that there can be more representation of an honest vote. Hello? What happened?
Okay. So, well, thank you for adding to the subject from yesterday and picking up from where we left off. Thanks a lot, Ma'at. Thank you for calling in. We now move into our current program and some new topics. The first of these, by the way, 888-874-4888. The first of these is the phrase, lock her up. Lock her up. What do you say to that? 888-874-4888. Any takers? Lock her up. What's the story there? Okay. And I will give you another one. Obama shorts a power switch. Obama shorts a power switch. What's the story there? What do these phrases trigger in your mind? 888-874-4888. So I just gave you two of them to ponder and choose from. The idea, again, is to stretch our minds a bit away from the predetermined course that the media have decided, well, this is how you ought to think. You ought to think exactly what we're telling you. And nothing more, nothing less. Just think exactly what we're telling you. There's no further information needed. And you don't really need to go anyplace else for more information. We're giving you the story. We're literally serving it up to you on a silver platter. So we've done the work. Now all you have to do is to believe everything we've written or said or televised. And you'd be in good shape. You would have been an educated consumer of information. All right, so we have these two in play. Lock her up and Obama shorts a power switch. What could I possibly be referring to in both of these instances? Well, I know you know. Of course you know. Let's see it at 888-874-4888. You must know what it is we're talking about here. Okay, Is it Laya or Yaya from Brooklyn? Laya?
Leia.
Leia. Okay. Thank you, Leia.
How are you, Sister Eugene?
Okay. You know, the thing is, in certain fonts, the L looks like an I.
So, oh, okay.
That's why.
Okay. I was hoping I didn't have a predetermined disposition here.
Okay.
Anyway, so I would like to tackle the locker up. I think the story there was that Hillary Clinton had used a private server to, with regard to the email situation, and it was just reported a couple of days ago that Ivanka Trump did the same thing. So whereas Trump was touting locker up for crooked Hillary, very silent about what Ivanka did.
Very good. That's pretty much it. The insistence by Trump and his supporters that Hillary Clinton's alleged illegal use of her government server and the illegal removal of the server to her home, to the basement of her home, and which continues supposedly to be investigated. The demand was to lock her up. Here we have another high-level official in the presidential administration, Ivanka Trump, who is a senior advisor to her father. And suddenly, there is a... is it not the same thing? Should it not be as an insistence that people should look at this and find out why it is that Ivanka Trump, who still claims, she's claiming that she just didn't know that this
right.
was... She had
incredible.
No idea.
Incredible.
She had no idea whatsoever that this
what
was not supposed to
on.
Be done. Good yeah. job, Laya. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Okay, you're welcome.
Thank you. All righty. CC from New Jersey, that leaves you with the other question.
Obama can you hear me, Eugene?
Shorts a power switch.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes. Yes, I
oh,
can
great.
Hear you.
Oh, great. Great. First of all, I want to say thank you for sharing and enlightening and expanding our consciousness. And thank you for the Lead Story Leaders, LEADERS, that are good. They're awesome.
Thank you so much.
The leaders, these leaders are awesome. They're just awesome. It's a great group. Or clan, for sure.
I think so. I think so myself.
Yes.
All
well,
right, so let's see what you have to say about the
okay,
other subject.
Okay, I'm going to say,
Obama,
in reference to Obama.
Obama short.
In reference,
Obama
in reference
shorts,
to Obama.
A power switch.
Okay, I'm going to say he short-circuited the power switch by stepping in for Nancy Pelosi.
Hey! Excellent.
All right,
now tell us the story.
Okay, well, yeah, he, you know, they're creeping up. I mean, people are creeping up on Nancy and saying it's, you know, time for a change of the guard. And so I guess, you know, they brought in the highest heat in the Democratic Party that they have. So, you know, she's feeling it. She knows that. And I feel that, you know, we commend her for what she has done. We want her to be on the sidelines and be a coach, a guide, an advisor. She's overly connected. She's too connected. And, you know, many people can feel that. You know, one of the successes of Woolworth department stores, 5 and 10 cent stores back in the day, is that they would change managers. They wouldn't let managers get too politically connected and be so influential. So they'd move them around the country. And that's going back 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago. And the same thing has to happen here, as I see it.
All right. But you're absolutely right. You're right on target.
Okay.
But there are a couple pieces that I think you ought to mention.
Okay, in reference to the Obama short-circuiting?
Yes.
Okay.
Obama has come out publicly and supported Nancy Pelosi to remain, to in fact occupy the position of Speaker of the House.
Right.
She's been there for a long time. But what is particularly significant about Obama's action?
Well, I don't know if I have that one. I know he's out there himself. You know, he's picking up $400,000 a pop. He needs protection to some degree for that. But I think I have to just stay with the fact that the newbies, you know, the 38 to 40 plus coming in, and I think we're needing, if the Democrats are going to be able to have any kind of survival, they're going to have to rebuild. They're going to have to, you know, have new lifelines and go through brain transfusions, or, you know, the whole strategy is, it's got to be, you know, it's tired, it's stale. So, but we're holding on. We're at the end of our rope, but we'll tie a knot in it. But I don't have that answer. I don't think.
If you got a hint, I'll go for it. I think you do have the answer, but I don't think you've connected it directly. Okay. But it is an answer. But you gave us the bulk of the answer, which is very significant. Why does Obama come to the aid of Nancy Pelosi? Why does get involved again, now directly involved in congressional politics?
I think it's James Brown, the big payback.
You think so?
Yeah, he owes him one. He owes him maybe, you know, 10. You know, I mean, who do you call? I mean, you know, you call the people that are in the foxhole. You know, they're all in the foxhole.
Okay.
You know, there's only five people in the foxhole, I think. Five people and the person in charge, or maybe whatever it is. I'm not sure. But, you know, that's what this is about. It's keeping it in lockdown. You see what I mean? You know, you got Chuck Schumer. You know, that's another one. You see what I mean? So, you know, and we've got to do a third party. But in the meantime, halitosis is better than no breath at all.
Well, that is funny. Thank you so much for getting us started on that. I agree with you.
Okay, listen.
That is a very significant thing.
And tomorrow, enjoy yourself.
Thank you. I'll be sleeping.
You're welcome.
Thanks so much. Okay, Clara from Philadelphia, we got a good start on this question. Could you repeat your incredible performance of yesterday and give us some more on this subject?
Well, you know, I didn't call for this one. I called before this came up. I wanted to say more about the email situation. I didn't think we finished that,
go ahead.
On the emails.
All right.
A few days ago, there was a report that President Trump was adamant about locking her up, following up on his statements prior to his presidency. And it was reported that one of his top aides talked him out of it. And then people on the news were congratulating that aide for controlling Trump's expected behavior. But the thing was, I thought it was probably a positive thing. And then on the heels of that, there's a report that his daughter used a government email system to make her own, to do her own personal work, which is different from what Hillary did. She took her government work home with her, and she was using it for whatever she wanted. I mean, this girl was using an email in the office somewhere for her personal use, which is not right. But she apparently didn't give away any secrets. We don't know.
We don't know.
But
we
Hillary,
do know
we
this.
Know what
everybody
did.
Who works in the government, especially people who have high-profile positions, everybody is forbidden to conduct personal business on the government's computer system.
I'm not saying we should forgive her what she did. I just think it's not coincidental that this came out after Trump raised the issue of prosecuting Hillary. I think that she has friends all over the place. That's all I'm saying, protecting her.
All right. But at the same time, we have Trump now just actively protecting and explaining away why we should look at Ivanka Trump's use, private use of governmental computer system differently, but it isn't. And then to compound it, she is pleading ignorance, that she no idea that this was forbidden. Now, she's a high level person, and she's saying now she had no idea that that was forbidden. And we still don't know whether, in fact, she conducted her private business on the governmental system. We have no idea. The whole idea of forbidding people to do private business on the government's computer system is that it's a security problem. It opens the system to all kinds of things.
That's true. I agree with that. I'm just saying that what Hillary did is being swept under the rug. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying that Ivana Trump is innocent. I think both of them should face consequences. If he had used good judgment, he would have done that publicly as far as his daughter was concerned and said, now I'm still going after Hillary.
Well, this is interesting, a very interesting way in which you express it, because technically, the president is not supposed to express, as president, as a presidential candidate, he can, go after Hillary all he wants.
Yeah.
As president, he's not supposed to take any of these personal positions for fear that it would be interpreted that this is a political vendetta. So he needed to just keep his mouth shut.
Yeah,
once he became president, and trust, because he has replaced the people at the Justice Department, one assumes that he has already gotten his way. James Comey has been fired. All of this was done. But now he should just steer clear of personalizing the issue.
Yeah,
thanks, Clara.
That.
Thank you very much. Okay, we're going to go back to that question that is still pending. Obama shorts a power switch. This is a very big story, although it is not being reported as such. It's not being reported as a big story. What might you be able to tell us that we are not getting from the media coverage? 888-874-4888. We got a very good start on this question from CC of New Jersey. We're looking for somebody else to bring this home. He started it, and you need to finish it. At 888-874-4888. What is the big power switch that Obama, in fact, has accomplished? And why should it concern us? Any ideas? Okay, well, we're almost at the halfway point of the program. And I don't want to delay us anymore. I want to get as many people in as possible. So I will chime in here. It so happens. Here's consider this, okay? Here is the former president who comes out and vigorously expresses his support for Nancy Pelosi as she considers her next step in life, which is Speaker of the House. It's a very powerful position, powerful position. And he makes no qualms about it. He makes no mistake about it. He doesn't couch it in any terms that we have to guess what he's saying. He's saying she's the one. She is the one who ought to have that position. And he's saying this not only as a former president, you have to remember, as a former president, he was also the titular head of the party itself. So we can't ignore the leverage that he intended his statement to have, and it does have that leverage. He's speaking as a former head of the party and the former president of the party. But as he announces his support for Nancy Pelosi, there's a small matter that we can't ignore, and that is that we had Marsha Fudge, who was contending or hoping to contend for the position. Marsha Fudge of the Congressional Black Caucus, she's been in Congress for many years, and she had declared much earlier than Nancy Pelosi did, declared an interest in the position. Now comes Obama, and he makes his statement that he is recommending support for Nancy Pelosi and causes Marsha Fudge to withdraw from contending for the position. Marsha Fudge happens to be an African-American woman. Okay. This is not good. This is pretty tacky and ruthless, as a matter of fact. Why would Barack Obama do something like that? To be seen as short-circuiting somebody's legitimate desire to move up within the party and within the sphere of influence in the House of Representatives. She qualifies. She is perfectly legitimate in wanting to pursue that position. But when the former president of the United States comes in with a sledgehammer and squashes, I mean, he acts, it's like a melon. He takes a hammer, the sledgehammer, to a melon and just squashes it. There is no hope of Marsha Fudge ever revitalizing her quest for the position. The fact that an African-American president would undercut an African-American woman seeking political power is a whole other matter. It's very, very serious to me. I think this is a major offense. Secondly, and I know that the president knows this, Nancy Pelosi, as I've called her here, Mother Dear, her thing was that she was ruling a plantation and kept every member of the Congressional Black Caucus, every member of the Latino Caucus in line. They did what she wanted. Now, I understand politics. Barack Obama might have calculated that Nancy Pelosi, whether people like her or don't like her, she has had a distinguished and a long track record as a legislator. She has formed relationships on both sides of the aisle. She has done quite a bit of lobbying. She is a familiar face. But most importantly, for our consideration, I think, as progressives, would this not have been an opportune moment, especially since she is getting up in years? There have been reports about concerns about her health. Is it the right thing for the president to use his considerable clout? Well, we thought it was considerable, but the election results proved differently, didn't they? That last-minute sweep, you know, did not help Stacey Abrams. It did not help Gillum in Florida. It didn't. But out of nowhere, Barack Obama, not that he is not entitled to express an opinion, but let's deal with the political fallout from an action like that. You know that, because it's been circulating for a long time, and she herself, Marsha Fudge, has in fact confirmed that her interest in running for the position, and you come in and cut her off at the knees like that. You cause her to withdraw and publicly say that she is no longer really going to be pursuing that position. And you have succeeded in restoring Nancy Pelosi, who absolutely deserves to be challenged. Her leadership is to be challenged. Absolutely. She has not been the greatest gift to mankind in her position in the House. And especially where African Americans and Latinos are concerned, people of color are concerned, she does not have a distinguished record. Oh, so something is up with our brother Barack Obama, and this is a very serious indication of where he's headed. Like I said, maybe this is a political calculation that a new Marsha Fudge, you know, wet behind the ears in this position, is not going to be as useful or as effective as an old Nancy Pelosi, who everybody knows. So you go with Nancy Pelosi, even though principle should have dictated an entirely different approach. You know what it is, and he ought to know as a candidate. He's run for office before. When you announce an intention, you're also announcing your conviction of qualification for that office. You're also announcing that you have the rudiments of a campaign that could be quite successful. No guarantees, but that's what you're announcing. And when somebody of this heft, this kind of political heft, within the party and outside of the party, and his position as a former president of the United States should just lop off your head in public. It's not the case that, say, Marsha Fudge has been in any way offensive to the Black community or Latino community. She's done quite well. She has taken consistently progressive positions. Well, we now have to look at Obama, the guy who is a gentleman. The gentleman politician had no problem lopping her head off in public. Bad, bad, bad news. Bad news. And he's got to be made to explain that move. And, you know, the sad part is that now he has put Marsha Fudge in a position, and others who might have supported her, of going along with him. That maybe he has insights that mere mortals don't have. Lincoln, you're on the air.
Jeez.
Hello.
Yeah. Good to talk with you again. You have to put this in perspective, and especially historical perspective as relates to Obama. And I'm not going to veer off track. I can't remember the name of the lady, but there was a lady who was his mentor in Chicago, and a black woman. And
oh, yes.
There was some slight...
I'm forgetting her name now. Oh, jeez. Yeah. And she's
Obama,
a woman I know. I'm forgetting
Obama
her name.
Did a sleight of hand and displaced her. People forget about that. He did a... She was supposed to be running for the seat he ran for in Chicago. And I think she had some kind of illness or something. And Obama did a quick sleight of hand. Obama is a very crafty man. And he knows, just like Trump, he knows how to appeal to the psychology of the people. And Obama, just like many of the others, they know that once their sycophants are gung-ho over them, anything they do... they will not be repudiated. I want you to also remember when they were doing the voting for, and that woman was a black woman in Chicago too. Just remember that. So those of us who are duped thinking Obama is for black people, it's for the white power structure. You remember when they were about to take the voting on the whether Obamacare or universal health care. Don't you remember Dennis Kucinich was holding out? And Obama, because of he knew how people were so enamored of him, I remember in a speech, and he said, Dennis Kucinich, stop holding out. He went to Dennis Kucinich's constituency, and he literally did a guilt trip on Dennis Kucinich, because Dennis Kucinich was holding out for universal health care. And Dennis Kucinich, like many other people, caved into Obama's charm and his trickery, and Dennis Kucinich ended up voting for Obamacare, whereas he was a really gung-ho person for universal health care. Let's go now to when Hillary was running. Obama went to the black community, don't you remember? And he made his black sycophants feel guilty. He said, if you don't vote for Hillary, that would be a shot, you know, it would be to my legacy. That would be destroying my legacy. And people fell for that again. And when people think that when Obama left office that he was out of the picture, no. It was strategically done that he should be silent until a particular time when he would resurface. They are using him. He is their whore. He is a prostitute for them. Yes, and I'm not pulling punches.
You don't have to go there.
Yeah. Oh no, I am not. First of all, I did not use an expletive. I'm speaking as I see him. And I'm telling you, you see, Malcolm X said something. He was making a speech, and Malcolm X said, I know you don't like what I'm saying, but I didn't come here to tell you what you like. I came here to tell you the truth. That was in Malcolm X's speech. And
don't raise it as a shield for the fact that you chose to be a little bit strident, more strident than you need to be to communicate your point of view.
The fact that
as much as whether you like a person or not, you don't have to call them prostitutes and whores. I mean, come on now. We beyond that, hopefully at that point. But I get your point, and thanks for contributing. We move on now to the next question. What's a little murder between friends? What's a little murder between friends? What could I possibly be talking about? 888-874-4888. Chris from Maryland, what could I possibly be talking about?
Hello, Miss Utrecht.
My God. Where did you get that voice?
I've heard that a few times, but
that's the kind of voice where you say, "I need all of your money."
That doesn't sound like a compliment, but I'll take it. But nonetheless, I can't really comment on the question that you just asked. I'm actually looking for the answer for the honest vote. I didn't quite hear an answer on that.
Well, don't forget, we started this yesterday. Today was just there were so many people who called in pertaining to that question. I felt obliged to give some more time so that people who didn't get a chance to comment yesterday would have a chance today.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Let's extend our good wishes and ask you, what was your comment going to be?
For the little murder between two friends, I can't really comment on that. I haven't had a chance to really mull that over in my head. It just came on me as you presented it on the air. Something I would have to think about. So right.
Okay.
Now, yes, ma'am.
All right. Well, hopefully we'll catch you another time. Patricia from New York, you're on the air. What's a little murder between friends?
Good afternoon, you three, and good afternoon to the PRN family.
Thank you. And good afternoon to you.
Thank you. I believe you're speaking about the murder, the atrocious murder of the journalist Khashoggi. And,
yes.
You know, I'm absolutely speechless because every time I hear him talk about, not only has Saudi Arabia changed their story a gazillion times, so has Trump. You know, the story has wavered from, well, we don't have all the facts, there's no proof, and then the economic interests are just too great for us to disrupt this relationship that we have. You know, we've got oil interests, we've got all of the defense interests in terms of the sale of all of these planes, and what he doesn't realize is that his position is now risking the lives of journalists around the world who are only trying to do their job as responsible journalists.
Okay, give us some background, a little bit of background. I think most people kind of know, but I don't want to assume that everybody knows.
Background to the killing of Khashoggi?
Yes. And Trump's involvement in Trump's position and the Saudi position.
Well, I'm not truly conversant on this. I am aware that Khashoggi has been very critical of the Saudi Arabian government. There is a very strong relationship between Donald Trump and Mohammed bin Salam, not only with Trump, but also with Donald Jr., in terms of their business interests. And so Khashoggi was killed when he entered the Saudi Arabian embassy and, of course, body dismembered, taken out of the embassy in a suitcase. And then, of course, the cover-up has begun. It was a group of rogue Saudi Arabian individuals to now the CIA says that, in fact, Mohammed bin Salam was directly involved in Khashoggi's death, and irrespective of what the Central Intelligence Community has proffered in terms of the connection, Trump's position has been that he doesn't believe it and that nothing will interfere with the relationship that they have, either as colleagues, as friends, or as business interests.
Well, that's true. But at the same time, we do have a groundswell of opposition to Trump and his position on this. Trump is saying, we will never know. We have no idea what happened to Jamal Khashoggi as he went to get particular papers. He anticipated getting married and he needed some legal papers. He was invited to go there to pick them up. And he anticipated no problem. Well, of course, we have reports that both Turkey and the president of Turkey, Erdogan, saying that the intelligence reports confirm that Khashoggi was attacked and suffocated and killed and dismembered almost immediately after he entered the building to get his supposed papers so he could proceed with his marriage. And nobody knows where the body is. There are varying reports that the body was packed, the dismembered body was packed in several suitcases, and nobody knows what happened to them afterwards, where they were taken. Another report says the body of Khashoggi was immersed in acid and liquidated and liquefied in acid and gotten rid of that way. But it is stunning that the president of the United States, whose own security officials have advised that there is legitimacy to many of the claims being made about Khashoggi and about Mohammed bin Salman, the son of the king of Saudi Arabia, who is viewed as the de facto leader now of Saudi Arabia. He ordered the killing of Khashoggi, and he's directly responsible, and he has a direct hand in this. Trump counters out of nowhere. Now, this is defying his own CIA, defying his own security people, his own intelligence people, and he says he has no idea. That it's inconclusive what happened. And instead, he has affirmed a deeper friendship, a deeper commitment to Saudi Arabia, and does not intend to take any kind of action against Saudi Arabia, punitive action, because of this murder, which is a very stunning move, don't you think?
I absolutely do.
Well, it's not finished. We will see how this plays out, number one. And then Trump wonders, he talks about the deep state and all this other kind of stuff. And yet this is the way he continues to alienate his own intelligence force. And he undermines them and he ridicules them. This is not the kind of conduct one expects of a head of state, ridiculing and maligning his own intelligence community, his own intelligence department. But we will see. Thanks a lot, Patricia, for calling. And great. That was a great solution. You got the solution. What's a little murder between friends? So this proves, I think, that you're on top of things. You're on top of things. And it's important. When these stories come up, you know, just swallow them wholesale and think, well, it's been reported in the New York Times. It's been reported in the Washington Post. I really continue to urge you to think for yourself. What does this mean? What does this mean? That move by Barack Obama, what does that mean? How could you be talking about being supportive of black women and the black community and whatnot? And at a moment, a very critical moment, we're talking now about the leadership of the House of Representatives. This is the move you make at this time. It says, we have to look at you very differently. We have to take you a little bit at a time. We can't swallow you whole. You have to be chewed up quite a bit for us to really get the full flavor of you. We can't trust you. That was a really tacky move. And it is going to continue to have lots of repercussions in the future. But most importantly, we need, you see, this is an action. but we have to understand the significance of it. The significance of it. Nobody's going to give you that information. You have to analyze it and understand the significance of it, as we discussed today. I am so proud to be in your company. I am so thankful to be in your midst every single day and to be able to interact with each other. It's the greatest gift of all. So tomorrow on Thanksgiving Day, I will keep that in mind as I sleep for the whole day. That's usually my Thanksgiving Day schedule. I sleep in the morning, I sleep for lunch, and I sleep at dinner time. So it's a whole day of sleeping. But have yourselves a really wonderful, profound Thanksgiving. Make it your own. Decide how you are going to use that day. And my recommendation is that you surround yourselves with people who bring positive dimension to your lives and great contribution to your life. And then we move on. So we'll be back with each other on Friday. I won't be doing a live show tomorrow because I'll be sleeping. But I'm back on Friday, and we get into it some more with Free Your Mind Friday on Friday. Thank you so much. Love you all. Bye-bye. The top of 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 the top of